Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with TG Watkins, Director of Stocks over at Simpler Trading, also editor of the Profit Pilot website, which we will link to below. Now TG, you're a very active trader. I think any of our listeners that have listened to you over the last couple of years know that you just look for opportunities in these markets, whether on the long side or the short side, simply using your indicators and what's going on with the chart. We're getting a lot of negative comments on the U.S. equity markets, even though they finished the quarter, the first quarter, fairly strong. We have started to see some more selling come in early on, and today's another good example where the markets look like they're trying to rally, and now they are dropping. Question being, right now, are you long or short? What side are you playing these markets, TG?
Basically, at this point, I've started to load up on the short side again. The move up here on the indexes, I mean, they've gone from basically the lower range all the way up to the upper range. I like to use what we call the ATRs, which are based off the Keltner channels. And it's gone from the lower third ATR to the upper third ATR. So it has covered the entire width of the street, basically. And more specifically, if we look at something like the NASDAQ, which has given me a pretty clean pattern setup, we've seen the price cross over the daily 50, but then it's run into the daily 200. And typically when I see this pattern, we at least see price come back down to the daily 50. So on this move up, I've been reloading to the short side. We've been seeing individual stocks start to really get hit and start to roll over as well. Gosh, we've even seen the semis roll over real hard. Recently, we've seen the transports roll over really hard. And so I think those are some precursors to what we should be seeing in the S&P and the NASDAQ coming up on this pretty soon. So yeah, I've loaded back up on the short side.
Well, TG, we were talking off mic that even when you look at some of the larger FANG stocks and sector leaders, you know, whether it's Apple, Amazon, Tesla, you noticed a similar pattern to what you're seeing in the indexes. So maybe if you could unpack what you're seeing there as well.
Yeah, I mean, anybody who's listening to this, go take a look at NASDAQ, so the QQQ versus Amazon, and the daily chart, hourly chart, look exactly the same. So that's that pattern I talk about where you cross over a moving average, then you run into the other moving average as resistance, and then you pull back. And I've even been seeing this stuff on the weekly chart. I mean, if you look at Amazon, prices run right into the underside of the weekly 50 and the monthly 10. So I'm looking at this as pretty hard resistance up here, and we should be seeing price pull back. Now, for now, what I've done is I'm basically targeting a pullback to kind of the previous low area, not the bottom of it, just kind of the area, and also around the daily 50. Now, what happens after that, we don't know yet. I have seen some patterns where you can get down to the daily 50 and maybe you bounce for a little bit, or you can get down to the daily 50, bop around a little bit, and continue lower. So I'm just looking for this next move, pulling back to the daily 50, and then I'm going to have to reassess to see what's going on.
How do you view the health of these larger stocks, especially in the NASDAQ? Because quite frankly, these high-flying tech stocks really help to support the markets and move them higher. They do carry such a large weight that I think we need to focus on how they're looking. And some of these stocks have bounced back. Tesla, Apple, they have actually done fairly well. How do you see the overall health of these?
So one way that I look at that, I have with my MOXIE indicator, I have what's called an inverse trampoline move. And what that is when price is over the 50 SMA, but the MOXIE indicator is still below zero. This is basically a false long setup, or it's a short setup. And what it's telling me is that energy and momentum is negative because the MOXIE indicator is below zero, despite price being over the 50. And what I'm seeing is a very similar situation in Apple right now to that. In fact, a lot of the indexes, the S&P and the NASDAQ, are doing the same thing, inverse trampoline moves. And I'm seeing a lot of stocks do the same thing. So this is why I've been loading up on the short side. Now, if we look at Apple currently, we see that formation on the daily. And I see this also back, if you look at April 22nd, 2021. There's the same pattern setting up on that where price was over the 50, but the MOXIE indicator was below zero. And you can see that price pulled back to the daily 50 about May 5th. And then it actually went a little bit below it to about May 10th and hit the daily 200. Now, in a bullish sense and in a good story sense of the market still strong, the Apple could definitely pull back to even the daily 200, and I would still consider this thing to be strong or in an uptrend. And basically, it would have been flagging for the last, well, since December. You know, December was basically the peak, And despite the pullback, it's just been flagging sideways if you look at the higher time frame moving averages. So Apple pulling back to the daily 200, the weekly 50, the monthly 10, anything like that is totally reasonable and still maintaining an uptrend. So right now, we just need to be playing the ups and the downs on this. So example, I've even started shorting Apple. You can sell some call vertical spreads, stuff like that. But understand that it's just a trade. You know, I'm not necessarily bearish on Apple, but I see a move that's setting up, and then we'll have to reassess, and then we'll have to see if maybe the market can right itself. And then, yeah, Apple would probably be one of the leaders to get back on board like that. Same thing with Tesla, same thing with Amazon, same thing with Google. I'm expecting these pullbacks, but those pullbacks, we're going to have to reevaluate and see if they're actually into strength or if they're into weakness.
Some good thoughts to consider there, TG, and that even if the 50-day moving averages break, that the 200-day may be good support, or the 50-week. So something to keep an eye on a lot of these stocks. You'd mentioned you saw an inverse trampoline move in some of those sector leaders, but you also had mentioned to us that you were seeing some of the same things in some of the commodity stocks, whether it's the energy or the precious metals. So maybe walk us through what you're seeing there as far as some of those same inverse trampoline moves.
Yeah, so basically gold, which is, you know, GLD, which is the metal itself, and GDX, which are gold miners. The hourly chart has been in an inverse trampoline move on gold. It's basically been in there since March 24th, which again is price over the 50. And in this case, we're talking about the hourly chart because it doesn't matter. It only matters what time frame you're setting this up on. So on the hourly chart, and the MOXIE indicator had been below zero this whole time. So I didn't go in on that March 23rd, 24th move. That was a false long. And you can clearly see that a couple days later, I mean, it got hammered again, and then it just hasn't been able to go anywhere. Now, I think long-term gold and gold miners are definitely bullish. Commodities are in a bull run. I think these things are in a new bull run, and they're going to be doing just fine. But you got to time them right. You know, gold went up so, so high and so fast, it's got to digest that move. It's got to come back, find its average, got to flag a little bit. And we can basically see that if you zoom out and you look at gold, it's kind of been hovering around 180 on GLD. And so it's flagging. It's just going sideways, waiting for the next area of support. And while on the daily chart, it looks fantastic, I haven't found an entry yet on the hourly or the 15, and that's why I'm waiting. Because if you're trading options, timing is important. And even if you're trading stocks, I want to be able to get in before, you know, without it going down or something like that first. And then I try to cross-reference a lot of stuff. So if I'm looking at gold, then of course I'm looking at GDX, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, when, you know, timing-wise, these things are probably going to move at about the same time. Well, I look at GDX, and I have even more clearly that basically since March 17th, price tried to get back on top of the hourly 50. And even today, even last week, price is back on top of the hourly 50. And if you didn't have the MOXIE indicator, you'd be looking at something like this and saying, wow, that thing is really good. Like, look at this. It is holding up. It looks great. Yeah, let's go in it. But the MOXIE indicator has been below zero since March 16th. And so this whole time, it has been a false long setup, which is an inverse trampoline move telling me don't be long on something like gold or GDX yet. So I'm waiting, and you can see it still hasn't really been able to get anywhere. Now, the other thing that I've been looking at to help explain this, if we look at, say, the shipping containers, shipping cargo, all that. So Starbulk, SBLK. And if we look at that, it's been an inverse trampoline move on the hourly chart since March 8th. And then you can even see around March 18th and even to the beginning of April, it looked like it was going to be good. We could see the price was over the hourly 50. And if we didn't have the MOXIE indicator, you'd be looking at this thing like, yeah, this looks great. It's just flagging. It should go higher. But the MOXIE indicator was below zero for almost all of March and going into April. And what do we have? Starbulk today is getting crunched. All of the shipping containers were getting crunched as of yesterday. And it was the inverse trampoline move with the MOXIE indicator, and its setup was telling me, don't be in this yet. It's not ready. And so I look at these things and I say, well, here's an example in shipping. Here's an example in gold. Here's a example in gold miners. And that's telling me these things are not quite ready to go long yet. And so it just proves my point, and that's how I'm able to come up with these rules and parameters to trade with.
So it sounds like almost across the board, TG, you are looking for pullbacks. No matter what has bounced, you see a broad pullback, I guess. And again, that's tying in with the very start of this quarter. How much do you, or how much weight do you put in something like trading early on in a year or early on in a quarter to guide what's going to happen for, say, the next 3 months?
Oh, well, not too much. You know, I think that probably this last move was basically a run into quarter end. I wrote a newsletter basically around the beginning of March, because I think a lot of people were looking short and loaded up short and hedged to the short side, thinking that the market, the S&P, was going to break lower, you know, break below 416. And I wrote a newsletter and I kept telling everybody, I said, I think this is too obvious. The market is not an obvious thing, and it's trying to make as many people wrong as possible. And I said, I bet you that the market is actually going to go the other direction. And sure enough, when we also started getting into options expiry in March, late March, then the short squeezes on. I mean, that's exactly what propelled this. And so my contention is, look, the damage to the economy and the market is not over. We still have inflation. We have interest rates going up. They're trying to do QT. We have more than just the Russia-Ukraine conflict. You know, that might have been part of the news to help spur this thing. But really, you just kind of look at the mechanics of this, and it's like, this was a short squeeze in the market, and I think it's petered out, and now we're going to be pulling back, because really, I don't think there was true, real money coming into the market. It was just people trying to exit their shorts and any other kind of short-term traders trying to take advantage of the move. But we still got some real rough stuff happening underneath the surface, and so I think we need to be careful about that and keep that in mind. That being said, as far as some bullish stuff, I mean, commodities. I mean, commodities really seem to be the place to where the bullish sector is. I mean, we're in natural gas through UNG. That one's having a great day. It's having a great week. And even oil, you know, if we look at USO, it's still bullish, but it's just going sideways. It's doing what gold is doing. It had a huge run. It needs to digest that move for a while. And essentially, USO has been trading sideways around $75 for the last few weeks. Probably give it enough time and it'll keep going to the upside, but you got to give it a break.
Well, just one more question on the upside, and that is, you know, right now I would tend to agree with you, TG. I think there's some definite weakness under the surface and some definite cautionary tales out there as far as many of these equities and even the indexes. But what will you be looking for as far as clearing overhead resistance to give you more of a signal that things have shifted back to more of a bullish environment, let's say in the general equities or in some of these stocks that you're currently shorting? What would give you the impetus to say, okay, hey, it actually looks like we're blasting up the resistance again?
Well, it's basically down to my rules. You know, the whole rules that I have around that I put out to my traders, my trading room, and that I teach with my classes, you know, I spell it out pretty clearly. The Moxie indicator, number one, needs to be over zero. And right now we're basically talking on the daily chart. That's really the critical thing, because a lot of stuff is still looking decent on, say, the monthly, weekly. So we need to get that back on track. And we need to not only just get over moving averages, we actually need to engage with those moving averages. And that's why I keep saying we should be seeing a pullback to the daily 50. And then I'm willing to reassess, because there is the potential that this is okay and we come back down and maybe we chop around and we could still go below the daily 50. Even going below the daily 50 and then getting back on top is totally fine too. So there's going to be some noise coming up as we approach this pullback. Now, the other situation I'm kind of thinking, this is what I've been trying to explain to people, is you kind of need to think two or three steps ahead. We can have a pullback, then we can have a move up, and that could even lead to a bigger down move, you know, down, up, and then major down. So we need to be aware that that could happen too, as, say, the NASDAQ could be forming a head and shoulders pattern. The S&P could actually go all the way up to previous highs and do a double top and then really roll over. Those are possible. But I'm kind of in the back of my head thinking, I'm not sure that this correction or bear market, whatever you guys want to call it, is actually over, because despite me being right about the downside being too obvious back in early March, we have not had a capitulation route yet. We have not really had the market roll over and just plunge down and really damage some things for a few days in a row to where people are like, oh my God, the world is ending. We haven't had something like that. And I just kind of think that usually corrections don't end the way they ended early March. There's usually something else that kind of sparks it.
That is true. But boy, oh boy, there's a lot of negativity and a lot of people worried about these markets. I understand why. The start of this year has been very different compared to the last couple of years outside of that COVID crash. And look, with the Fed changing policy, and quite frankly, I think with people and that reopen trade ending for the most part, well, then we could see some pretty significant down moves for the markets. TG, final thoughts then. What should investors be paying attention to?
Well, a lot of it is we should be paying attention to the cost of energy and oil. You know, there are stats out there that say anytime oil and energy costs have gone up by 50% in a year, a recession has followed. And so, you know, I think we're kind of in the makings of something like that. We've seen that GDP has basically gone down to about zero or like 0.1. And oil prices, energy prices are through the roof. Inflation is obviously high. You know, the Fed says it's like 7-8%, but probably real life, it's probably closer to 15%. And then we have interest rates going up. And now while the market can go up during interest rate increases, we just have a lot of other things that are up there. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing the groundwork for a recession starting to brew. A lot of people are talking about it. It can take a while to make this happen, and the market might factor in some of that now for something that's going to happen later. But I think we do need to keep an eye on especially inflation and what's going to happen to the economy, because as far as I understand, there's no real easy way to get rid of inflation other than to basically put the brakes on the economy, which kind of means recession.
All right, we'll leave it there. Again, nothing is a guarantee, and we are not saying that we will for sure be in a recession, but it does mean something, especially to me, TG, when you're seeing these type of signs within the markets. And quite frankly, again, it sounds like a lot of shorting is your strategy right now as markets have rebounded, but still aren't showing that sort of strength that you like to see in your indicators. TG, thank you as always for your time. Hope you have a great rest of your week, buddy, and we'll chat again in a couple weeks.
Great. Thanks, guys.